guys. I'm Tony Johnson, the host of the Tony Johnson Show. I'm here with my co-host, Nina Johnson. I don't have a name for you yet. I just don't have a name.
Yeah, Johnson.
Go with that. Well, that is your name, right?
Yeah. The sweetheart of... give me a minute. I'll figure it out. I can't call you sweetheart or radio.
No, you can't call me sweetheart or anything.
It's just, you're just straightforward. Yeah, you're straightforward. So, was it Iron Nina Johnson?
Iron...
Coming at it hard, bro. Anyways, I don't know. Just give me a minute. I'll give you a word. But yes, guys, welcome to the Tony Johnson Show. This is like a continuation of last week's show because we were just on a roll, and I was like, you know what? Let me get as many of these together so that way when I put it out, everybody can listen to it. I'm just thinking, so I'm like trying to make it easier for myself when I'm doing these shows. So that way I can put these shows out and...
Just hit my toe on your son's high chair.
Did you prop your foot up like I told you?
Yeah, but then I got uncomfortable, so I moved around again.
Right? Damn.
We gotta find... I need to get some chairs.
Yeah. And trying to sit in the couch is not really helping at all. Because how are we going to
hold
the mics?
And
I'm not trying to hold a mic in my hand. I just don't like doing it. But anyways, yeah, we're just kind of continuing last week's show. So we were talking about triggering and ways that people go about handling the situation.
Well, this one I won't call triggering because the actual word triggering is a reaction to a traumatic event.
Okay.
This is...
provoking?
No, because we aren't trying to provoke people.
Right, right. Eliciting a response.
It's receiving an unnecessary response to nothing.
And don't take my passive aggressiveness as a means of kind of jumping around what you're saying.
No.
I'm playing devil's advocate because you and I cannot agree on everything.
Yep.
This is not what the show is about.
Incredibly boring.
It'll be very boring because I'm coming at you at the sense of this is what they would say. This is what they would do.
You're looking at it from all angles.
Yeah, because keep on talking.
Oh,
I gotta fix my chair.
You're better. I mean, I can break it down from other angles. My thing is, I'm going to make sure that my angle is heard first because that's just how I am. I have heard people say like, oh, it's triggering when I see a black person wearing a Black Lives Matter thing because they think of the riots, they think of the violence. It's not my fault if your first thought on Black Lives Matter is violence.
Because that's what they saw.
That is what they saw, but that's
honestly
what the media portrayed.
Honestly, that's what they saw, and that's what people took advantage.
Yeah.
And people do take advantage when things like this happen.
Yeah, it's plausible deniability.
It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, when Ferguson happened,
oof.
Holy crap.
My God.
Holy crap.
Lord.
What did a Foot Locker have to do with Black Lives Matter at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Baltimore. CVS got shut down.
Yep.
What did CVS have to do with Black Lives Matter?
But the
thing is, it's like, that's what the media portrays.
That's what the media portrays. And also, rioting is the language of the oppressed. I'm not justifying it whatsoever.
Okay.
I will say, those stores and the contents of those stores are insured. Their assets are protected. What is being portrayed is these people of color are mad because we're not listening to them. Look at these bad things that they've done. The actual message, because I went to a peaceful protest. There were some knuckleheads there that were running around, banging on police cars. And there was a group, there was a pastor with a few of his people who stood in front of the police car shoving people away. This is not what we're here for. This is not the message behind it.
Right, because you saw, and you did see that.
Yeah.
There was a video out there of this guy, 31 years old, mm-hmm. was talking to this one old guy who's 45. I think you know what I'm going with. It was during the Black Lives Matter movement. And I'll probably include the audio in it mm-hmm. while we're talking. But in that video, the guy is talking to an old man. Mm-hmm. 45. I can't say old man. He looked older than what he said he was. And the guy was like, no. This is not what we're about.
Yeah.
He was like, do you know if you do this, they're going to shoot us and they're going to kill us.
Yes.
He said at the time, the president said, if you loot, we shoot.
Yep.
So do you remember the video I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay. So the guy was like, no, we're going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this. I'm ready to die.
No, sir.
My first thought would be like,
I'm not ready to die.
Let's listen to what this guy's saying. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the thing was, it's like he was going back to telling the 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm 31 years old. And I'm mad now. By the time you get to my age, you're going to be even more mad. Mm-hmm. Learn how to control your anger.
Learn how to control it.
There are people that are taking advantage of
situations. They're weaponizing it.
Yes. Especially during Black Lives Matter movement.
And if you get a crowd of minorities loud, chanting, angry, it's only going to receive a negative response.
Right.
Because of the way the system is set up in this country.
Right. Like when those people came to that couple's house and they came out with guns.
God. And they were attorneys, weren't they?
Yes.
And they walked past the couple's house. They weren't even going to the couple's house.
Yeah, and then you, I know people are like, oh, they're in Tifa. No, we're not. It's just some videos you see, and then you see people who are like kind of, the only thing you see are their eyes, not what they do. And I've seen some stories that there are people within organizations that are trying to do things to make what we're doing bad. Because if you think about it, when the million, not the Million Man March, I'm having a brain fart. Martin Luther King did the walk to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person decided, here, we're going to shoot up all these stores. It's a walk.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing. We tried to kneel, and it didn't work. That. And let me kind of put some emphasis on the kneel thing. I'm kind of iffy on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. The outcome of all that was because they wouldn't let him play football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rewind the clock back before all this stuff started getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL flew him out to Georgia. How do I know? It's because he was in Georgia, not too far from the job I was working at.
Really?
He was supposed to go to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to have coaches look at him while he's playing.
Yeah.
They're going to get there. I guess they finally gave in. They're like, yeah, we're going to get him on the team.
Yeah.
Then he was like, no, we're going to go over here. Then he went to a high school that wasn't too far from where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like he took advantage of that because where is he now? Colin Kaepernick. I said Colin?
You said Colin.
Sorry. It's Virginia to me. Colin. Because right now, he's not doing anything.
Mm-mm.
He got a really sizable donation from Nike.
Mm-hmm.
He still has a contract with Nike.
Yep.
That kind of bothers me. It's like, are we doing this for the money or are we doing this for the movement?
Well, you also have to consider, he has to make a living.
Yes, he has to make a living. I knew you were going
to
say
that. He has to provide for his family, and he has to have money to continue the movement.
Right.
Because, unfortunately, as a minority in this country, the more you stand up and speak out for yourself, the harder the boot comes down on your neck.
Right.
That's just a fact. You know, look at the state of the world right now. Look at the state of the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my opinion, I think we've given too much power to the media. Mm-hmm. They have come. People have come to depend on the news to report the news. They don't think that the news could be biased, reporting only one side. And that's sad. Mm-hmm. Because it has given people plausible deniability. They say, oh, well, I saw it on the news, so, you know, it is what it is. They don't look any further than that. We didn't have to look that much further than that in the past, but times are changing. Things are modernizing. The news can be bought. You know, people, they can be swayed.
Right.
With just a little bit of money. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, what can you do?
Man. Just talking about it just kind of like...
It depresses you, but to me, it invigorates me. Because I have learned throughout all of this that I can only do as much as I can physically do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't save the world. I can't change America's opinion on a black man. What I can do is... just act the way I do day to day. Treat everybody the same way I would want to be treated and hope that I get the same treatment in return.
You know what's so crazy? We're the... We have to... I think a friend told me one time, we're the only race that has to act like chameleons. Think about it.
We have to act like what?
Chameleons. Think about it. Chameleons change color to adapt to where they are.
Yeah, it's called code switching.
So, chameleons change colors to where they are. No, but I say that because she almost spit up her water.
I did.
Little did people know that, like, Nina has, like, a strong, more intellect than I do. And I know people are like, man, really, Tony? Because you sound really very, very proper spoken. So, that's where I'm going into.
Uh-huh.
We don't necessarily act the way we need to act.
No.
We have to change.
We were taught from a young age, as black people, to adapt to whatever situation we're in.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught a different set of survival skills from an Asian American person or a Latin American person.
And it's, you have to do it in a sense that, like I said before, and I know you don't like this word, mm-hmm. that doesn't trigger people or make any people, everybody, or make other people feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking in a meeting,
yep.
talking to people,
mm-hmm.
you have to talk a certain kind of way.
You have to keep your tone level.
Yeah. Level.
You have to use the right vernacular.
Mm-hmm. I know what that word means.
You have to do things a certain way, and it's different to us because it's a means of survival.
Mm.
Because in the wrong environment, it could be life or death for us.
Okay.
Not necessarily nowadays in certain places, but there are still at least 18 sundown cities on the East Coast.
Right.
Still in operation.
Expound on
sundown cities?
Sundown cities.
If you are a black person and you're driving through a certain part of Kentucky, you need to be out of that town before sundown or you will be killed.
Thank you for breaking that down for me.
You're welcome.
But Nina sometimes says things, and I'm like, yeah, because the idiots of the world don't know what you're saying. And I'm not pointing to myself. Just pointing to the guy behind me. What guy, Tony? I don't know. He was right behind me.
Yeah.
But anyway. New lease on life. You're here in Virginia.
No.
You're here in Georgia.
Yep.
So with that being said, let's go into something else.
Yes.
Let's talk about my friends at Alchemy. Looking for a new life coach to assist you in your journey to have a better life? Well, look no further. It is the Brothers of Positivity. It's Alchemy in Coaching. Their commitment is transforming you, yes, you, the listener, inspiring individuals to utilize the skills and resources to achieve their worthy goals. Through client-centered coaching, they focus on establishing a rapport and empowering clients to achieve greater independence and solutions in the aspects of their lives. So, have no fear, Alchemy is here. So, that being said, check them out at alchemyincoaching.com. You can also follow them on Instagram, Alchemy in Coaching LLC, Facebook, Alchemy in Coaching, facebook.com/ Alchemy in Coaching, and you can follow them on the Twitter, Alchemy IC underscore LLC. That's Alchemy IC underscore LLC. You're welcome. No, but
you know the term, I don't know if it's a term or just like a label, LLC used to intimidate me until I realized how easy it is to get your own LLC.
It intimidated me too, because with the Tony Johnson show, I was going through a list of names to name the show. And my love for wrestling, I was like, it's got to be a wrestling name.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's call it The Main Event. And then somebody had The Main Event Podcast. I said, Across the Ropes. And somebody had Across the Ropes Podcast. Like every wrestling deck on turn
is really big.
It is. And you know, some people are like, oh, why don't you just do a wrestling podcast? Oh, I don't know, because there's 6,000 other wrestling podcasts.
It's been done. Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Knock, knock. I'm not the only one in town. So, I almost joke. I did joke.
Deep breath.
Whew. Anyways, going back to what we were saying. Well, we were kind of like segueing away. Because
you're in Georgia. Just,
yeah, you're here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. How do you like it here so far?
Well, Georgia, you guys drive like fish, but it's fine.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I forgot I'm not supposed to cuss. You can't drive. I'm not sorry for that. I've been driving around. You
should have got me a freaking pen. So I can timestamp these things. No, but go ahead.
But it's beautiful. I love the area. The people are surprisingly friendly.
Told you.
You know, in Virginia, I mean, you would get like a nod.
Yeah.
In passing, but here everybody's like, "Hi, how are you?" And I'm like,
"Wasn't it funny how like when we lived in New York and we said we lived in Virginia?
Oh my god!
Like, oh, you live in the South?
You
I'm
live
like,
in the South? Hey, what? I'm DC like, suburb, bro.
I'm like, bro, do you know that I am right outside the Capitol?
Yeah.
Like,
we could
you
be
don't
in DC
have
in 30
to,
minutes.
I don't have to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, to them, I can see it, but if you look at us on a map, it's Northern Virginia. It's in the north.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they try to say that. You know what's funny? One of my coworkers, when I used to work in New York, she said, "You know, your Southern accent is so cute." I said, "My accent, huh?"
Yeah,
you
I don't
know how I got her.
What?
Because she was like, I don't have an accent. I said, "No, really? Repeat after me. Talk." And she goes, "Talk." And I'm like, I looked at her
so
and she
funny,
was like, oh.
Gina to this day says that she doesn't have an accent. I was like, bro,
yeah,
you are like, you have such a Miami accent.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. Like, if you ask her to say quarter, she'd be like, quarter. Like, she, like or wall. I say wall. She'd be like, wall. I'm like, no. Without the H. Wall. You know what I mean? She'd be like, wall. I'm like, no. It's wall. Or like, it's hard to like.
It's very discreet. It comes out, you know, in like certain ways.
Yeah.
It's funny to hear it though, because they don't hear it.
No, I mean, and how could you?
Yeah.
You were born in this state. You lived in a certain kind of culture.
Yeah, for most
of
your life.
For most of your life, depending on your upbringing and how, if or not, your parents corrected your way of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina comes from a Puerto Rican family,
so English is not
their
first language.
The accent is strong.
Yep.
You know, so you got the. You got, I was almost said Panamanian, but that would make mom happy. I digress. But no, it's just different. But I mean, I think it's cool. But so you say you like it here in Georgia so far?
Oh my god, yes.
You started
the weather.
Well, as we're recording, you're going to be starting your job on Monday. So when people listen to this, they're going to be like, oh, wow, well, how did it go? You don't know. I don't want to sit here and pretend like you do, you know? So
you picked a field I've never worked in before.
Yeah. So. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I just try to get you in where you could fit in.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, let me try. I don't have a lot of clout in the job I'm at, as you can see.
Couldn't tell because everybody was, oh, you're Tony's sister. You're Tony's sister.
Really?
I felt like I was back in high school.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I don't act like my wild self. Like
no, but you are likable enough that they were like, oh, you're Tony's sister, not, oh, you're Tony's sister.
Yeah, I get, I mean, because I don't rub people the wrong way. No. I try to be neutral. I try to get everybody like me. You know, I think that part of me is starting to go away.
Yeah, because I prefer to have my work ethic speak for itself. I don't really need you to like me.
Okay.
That's just me, personally.
That's the difference between you and I, right? Yeah. Would you say that?
Yeah.
No, I'm being honest.
No, it just occurred to me because I didn't think about that before.
Right. Like, yeah, it's something I'm starting to realize. Yeah. Like, and when I say to people, and some people are like, wow, that's kind of rude. I'd be like, no. Between Nina and I, I'm the nice one.
Yeah. Like, you definitely
mean?
Are.
They're like, what do you mean? Like, she's such a nice person. I'm like, yeah. It's not like she's not a nice person.
Yeah, I'm just blunt.
I just, she's blunt. She doesn't like people. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm a lot nicer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're more predisposed to be polite. I'm more predisposed to be blunt.
Yeah. It's like, hey, excuse me. You'd be like, yeah, because like, the world's not going to move unless you do.
Yeah, like Tony would be like, you know. Oh.
Yeah, like every Friday's bloody calling me. Continue.
Yeah, Tony would, if somebody was in front of Tony, like in the way in like a grocery store, he'd be like, excuse me, you know, just getting around you real quick. Me, I would just sort of stand really close to them and say, you make a better door than you do a window.
You walk up to him like, hey, it's me. Move. Like, yeah.
I used to. It got tiring. It got really tiring.
Tiring is in a sense of, like, trying to get everybody to like you?
Yeah. Because not everybody's attention and appreciation is worthy of your time.
Hmm. Is that with experiences that you've gone through in life?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and I credit most of that mentality to working in the service industry and childcare industry for more than 10 years. It is a thankless job.
Let me ask you something. Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important that you, if you're in a working field, you're on your way up, why is it important to work in a restaurant?
It is so imperative to work in the service industry.
Why?
It is humbling. You will experience all manners of people. People will be appreciative of you going above and beyond, or people will expect you to continue to do so. They won't ever thank you, and will sometimes use it as a way to be like, oh, okay, well, you're just trying to get this from me, or they're going to see it. Take it the wrong way.
Because it's something I've never been able to explain to people. I forgot who I was with, and we were talking about working in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And my wife was there, and we were like, yeah, kind of suggest that you probably get a job in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, well, what is that supposed to mean? And in my mind, it's like having a dream and not being able to tell somebody what happened to your
dream.
Well,
also, it helps you with compartmentalization.
How so? Oh, because you're dealing with... Okay, go ahead.
And multitasking. Balance.
So I am partly good at multitasking.
Yeah. You're just not great at it. You're good at it, but you're not great at it.
Okay. One taken.
Yeah, for me, it was realizing that not everybody that polite to you has your best interest at heart, mm-hmm. and some people are actively working against you. It's differentiating between the two, I guess you could say. But the biggest thing for me was learning, it was compartmentalization, learning how to deal with rudeness, outright hostility, or kindness, unexpected kindness. You know, mm-hmm. working as a server on Christmas Eve, I got a $100 tip.
Yeah.
Like a $10 tab. So like, oh, you're working on Christmas Eve. I'm like, thanks. You don't expect it. Or then you get the big family of 18 and they leave you a 50-cent tip on a $200 bill.
Yeah.
To round it up to the nearest dollar.
Yeah. You're like, hey, how about you deal with that?
Or you get the ones that leave the notes on the receipts. Those great, grade A human beings. Yeah, I think it is very important for everyone. And I mean everyone. I don't care who you are. You should at some point work in the service industry.
Mm. Because it humbles you, right?
It definitely humbles you. And it can really mold a really decent work ethic.
I was trying to look for a list of reasons why to work in a restaurant industry while you were talking on the internet. But I don't have the...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's skills. Compartmentalization. It's humbling. It's very good for building a work ethic and social skills.
Social skills. trying to think of something else.
Makes you better at being able to read people, too.
True. Because I can tell... You know what's so funny? Somebody once said, oh, man, black people must hook you up, don't they? I'm like, no. If anything, they're the worst tippers.
Yeah.
How much was that? Hold on. Wait. Get that tip calculator, all right?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
Sundays?
It's the worst.
The worst. Grandma would be like, the big mama, oh, look, girl, you're so pretty. Oh, bless your soul. Oh, you keep our drinks full. 50-cent tip, Agnes. What the heck?
I'll do you one better. I had a table whose kids trashed the table. They left me $1.43 tip in change.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're in Georgia, so I had that happen to me in Georgia. And mm-hmm. this guy and his family saw what happened, and they gave me a tip.
Yeah, I have had that. I had back up in Virginia and Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. I had a family of 10. They looked inbred. Like, they just looked dirty.
Yeah.
What, can I not say that?
No, you're good, but it's just like, I have a visualization what you're talking about. No. Like, it's not, no, I'm not giving you that look like, oh, God. Like, oh. You crossed the line again, Nina. No,
you gotta have like a...
God, you know what I mean?
You gotta do the red card.
You're like the Jesse, the Body Ventura of radio.
Yeah, you gotta give me a red card.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying it's bad what you said.
Yeah.
I had a visualization because, and we're gonna get off this topic.
Yeah.
But like, there are those people that... If soap offered them $1 million, mm-hmm. they'll ask for $1.
Yep.
That was pretty good. Bars. But no, it's just they're disgusting people.
Yes.
They're the ones that are putting stuff in their drinks
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a trash bag.
Yep.
I gotta stop talking because it's actually physically making me sick.
It's funny that you say that because it's a family of 10. And the oldest son has overalls, a trucker hat, boots, no shirt.
And he's the only one out of all of them. Because all of them together, collectively, have 7 teeth.
Yeah, yeah. And they came in 10 minutes before we close. Pushed tables together when we were in the back.
Yeah.
So I come out to them banging on the table. I'm like, okay, all right. Okay, all right, we can do this. I'm, like, stretching. I'm doing my calisthenics. Like, all right, I got this. I come up, And I do the whole, I start my spiel in my, I call it my Martha Stewart voice. Hello, everyone. How are we doing this evening? My name is Water. Okay. Cool. All right. So I go around to get everybody's drink orders. It's summer. That restaurant specializes in selling crab legs during the summer. My kryptonite, literally. And it's 10 minutes before closing in a restaurant. Anybody who works in the restaurant industry knows that we are ready to roll out.
Yeah. Side work time. Has to be done.
Side work is done by closing because we're not trying to hang out. Wow. Like, we start closing down 30 minutes before we close. Like, now this is broken down, tell them we're out of it. But the kitchen manager was there, so he was like, all right, guys, let's go. And I'm just like, oh, boy, okay.
Let me ask you something. In closing, like, I know this is a thing that somebody asked one time, like, I don't want people spitting in my food and all that stuff. Newsflash, we don't spit
in your food. Nobody spits in your food.
We don't spit in your food.
Nobody spits in your food.
This is what we do. We will take your food. Mm-hmm. There's a hotbed.
Yeah, the window.
We will take your food and we will leave it in the hotbed. We'll
leave it in the window.
Yeah, we will leave it in the window. We'll either leave it in the window or leave it on the side from the hotbed.
Yep.
But if you're a real jerk and you just made me run like 1,000 miles for no reason, I'm putting your food in the hotbed. That way, one, your plate is hot. Two, your food is messed up because it's dried out. It's dried out. So, yeah. Newsflash.
You get what
nobody,
you get.
Nobody's spitting in
your food. Nobody is spitting in your food because that can get a restaurant shut down.
Yeah, nobody's sticking
their
finger.
Nobody's putting DNA in your food.
Yeah, nobody's sticking their finger in your food. It's just simply, we are going to, you know what, since you're like that,
you're getting decaf.
I'm going to take two more tables. And I can look at the table and automatically know that it's not going to take me that long. They're getting burgers and fries. You know what? Matter of fact, let's get their meal out first. Just so that guy can wait. So, but yeah. The moral of the story, the service industry, serving people, period.
Yeah, service industry in general.
It humble you. It humbles you.
It's a different world. You learn a whole new set of skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the moral of that story was... the mother ended up calling me the hard R.
Oh, yeah, I've been called that before.
But what was funny was there's like two other black people that worked with me. Everybody else was white. My manager was white. I go back in the kitchen, I'm taking deep breaths because I almost swung on this woman. And my manager sees something's wrong. He's like, what's going on? I told him what happened. This dude is like negative 2.4 feet tall. He puffs out his chest, and he walks out there and kicks him out.
All right.
He says, I know your faces. I see your names. Out. Give me the money. You're paying for your food. You're paying for everything. And I think he made them tip me.
You're like, I will find you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't mess with your servers. We won't put DNA in your food, but we will dry it out. Or your coffee will be decaf. You know?
Dun, dun, dun.
You'll get Diet Coke instead of regular. We find our ways.
We do. All right, I'm going to say something. Fools think about yesterday. The wise think about today.
The wives?
The wise.
Oh, the
did I say wives?
No, I heard wives at first. That was just me.
Fools think about yesterday. The wise think about today.
Is that like opportunity?
How would you say it?
I would think of it as opportunity.
Really? How so? Why?
I'm always thinking about what I want to do with myself, with my life.
When I think about that, I think about letting go.
Really?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. When I came here, I was very, very, very insecure. Like, my insecurity, this is my confidence, this flash drive right here. Insecurity is the size of this apartment. Huge. imposter syndrome I fought for so long.
Yeah, I just learned about imposter syndrome.
So, imposter syndrome in my relationship. Mm-hmm. Self-esteem, flash drive.
Yeah.
Self-esteem was my yesterday, because yesterday a whole bunch of bad things happened. Mm-hmm. I was not wise to think enough to think about today. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I say that is because since you're here in Georgia, mm-hmm. we all have insecurities. I know you do too.
Yep.
At this sense of my life, I think that everything that's happened yesterday happened so I can think about today.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because my therapist once... This guy, he's so proud of himself. My therapist once told me...
I had to do a shimmy, and then my back was like, no shimmies.
No shimmies.
That really hurt. Oh, man. My sciatica.
Now, my therapist mentioned to me that depending on the trauma, you almost stop growing when the trauma happens as a person. She used an analogy of a balloon. You know, you're growing, the balloon's inflating. Something happens, it reaches its roof, and it stops for a while. You don't regress. Sometimes you do regress, depending on the form of trauma. But you stop growing. Mm-hmm. It's recognizing what that trauma is and acknowledging what it's done to you, how it's affecting you, how it's affecting your growth, you know what I mean?
Right.
And allowing yourself to continue to grow. Mm. That was what played a really big part in my, just like, you know what, I'm just going to go to Georgia.
Where would you have gone if I wasn't here in Georgia?
Richmond.
Why?
Why? It's less conservative.
But not even so much the people. Why do people feel like... When I decided to move, I didn't want to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Go to the Carolinas or...
Either go to Richmond, and I'm not knocking anybody who does that.
It's just for you.
It's just, you're really not getting away from anything.
No, I don't think they want to get away from anything.
Well, some people do.
Yeah, but they don't want to take that big of a leap.
Huh?
They don't want to take that big of a leap.
Going outside of their
area. Going that far outside of their circle.
Your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that in order for success or change to happen, your life and situations around you have to become uncomfortable. That's the only way for change to happen. Mm-hmm. And my situation was getting really uncomfortable because...
Same.
Let me tell you something. You know who holds the biggest win streak next to Mayweather and once upon a time The Undertaker? Mm-hmm. Father Time. He has not been beaten yet. Father Time will act like Thanos and knock you out just like he two-piece Iron Man in the movie. Not even Iron Man, just like Iron Man and the Hulk. He will do that to you.
Yo, he broke the Hulk.
Gosh. But I say all that to say is like you're what I want for you here is to just grow. Mm-hmm. Because I was your age, literally, when I first moved here. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy that I look at that.
Yeah.
You're just off by... How long do we have till August?
Wait, 3 months.
3 months?
Four months. I didn't do math. I keep forgetting it's April.
You're the college graduate, not me. So, like...
just because I have a friggin' degree doesn't mean I'm smart.
No, I understand. No, I'm just joking. But it's just... I'm so happy for you that you're here. Mm-hmm. I really am. Like, it's really unbelievable. I can't believe I'm, like, actually looking at you.
Yeah.
And not thinking to myself, well, we gotta take her to the airport on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. it's like, you know... you're seeing you play with Liam is like so heartwarming. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like this is really tugging at my heartstrings. I don't know if it's a medication or it's just like this is really getting
well. That's
emotional.
What I wanted to do. I wanted to play with my nephew and be with my nephew. Instead of taking care of other people's kids.
Yeah. But you are kind of.
Well, he's my nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's blood.
Yeah. That's blood, man. That's blood. We dead. It's blood, man. No, that's what you're saying. But, gosh, man. I'm trying to think of something else, bro. What else are we forgetting? We talked about Kardashians last week.
Mm-hmm.
When you're listening to the show, that was last week. Floyd case. Floyd, what is his name? Floyd, the guy who got choked out, the kneeling, the guy who's kneeling on his
George name. Floyd.
George Floyd. I was in
Derek Chauvin
Floyd.
Case.
Honestly,
I'm just gonna say it. I don't see him getting more than.
I got 5%. Can you get the plug?
Where is it?
It's right over there on the wall. I just don't want to. I don't know. They're kind of treating it like the OJ case.
Well, hold on.
Well, no, I say that in the sense of like they're saying that in a plug it up on that side. That side. Yep. It's okay. No, but they're kind of treating it like. As far as, like, the way we're watching it, it's almost like the OJ trial.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense of they're playing everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's testimonies and whatnot. So it's like, I don't know. I don't like.
I'm going to tell you what it is. What it is.
I mean, because if it's being played out like this.
Yes.
Well, because all the other cases that happened.
Mm-hmm.
We found out just days later, they were either acquitted.
Found not guilty.
Or found out guilty.
The current political climate will not.
But before you start rolling on.
Yeah.
Do you think with this amount of publicity, do you think there's going to be a guilty verdict?
Yes.
Because the amount of publicity that's in.
Because of the amount of pressure.
Okay. Because if he does not get. If he is not found guilty.
It's Rodney King all over again. That's what I think.
There will be a riot.
Yes.
There will be a riot.
It will be bad.
Somebody said there will be blood in streets.
I would not be surprised.
And I'm not. We're not encouraging that.
No, I'm
we're
just
not
acknowledging
that
that's what's going to happen.
Let me tell you something. As a black person, we are quick to react.
Mm-hmm.
We are not quick to respond with words.
Yep.
That has been our MO for the longest time.
Violence has been our language for a long time.
Because if I was to walk over to you and just hit you on the shoulder for no apparent reason, your reaction is going to be what? To hit me back, right?
Give me two pieces.
Yeah. Right, so back. I don't do it until
I'm
I don't
hit you
do it
harder
again.
So you can't hit me again.
Right. So this case, I am thinking that he might be found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there's that part of me is like, he might be trumped under another
yeah.
charge. Only because
he's a police officer.
He's a police officer. And a lot of people don't really listen when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are being, it depends mm-hmm. on the situation. Because some people go straight to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then there's those people that don't really go to jail because they have no charges prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's time served.
Yes.
I
Chauvin has a history, though.
Okay.
He does have a history. But the thing is, this is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will be found guilty of, at worst, involuntary manslaughter. I think
so too.
He'll get 25 years, and after maybe 3, he'll be let out for good behavior.
I don't see him serving 3.
No, not even 3.
I don't see him serving 3. I just feel like it's... Yeah.
I don't have enough confidence in America's justice system for him to actually be held fully accountable.
I don't... Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we're going to get what we want. Nope. And going into things that we want, and we know we're not going to get.
Well, I won't say at all. Because what is happening now is you're getting people of different minorities in positions of power.
Right.
Yeah, you know? And...
But that's only temporary.
No, it's not.
I say that because when there's another election,
it's going to be a change. They're going to come out.
There's going to be a change of guard. That's what I'm saying. Yes, we got a Madam Vice President.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lower. I'm talking about mayor. I'm talking about senators.
Oh.
I'm talking about, yeah. Kamala,
I
didn't vote for Uncle Joe because I wanted to. I voted for Uncle Joe because we couldn't get Cousin Bernie. And we could not continue with 45. Excuse me.
Bless you. But you're talking about the state senators, the mayors, the governors. When actuality, you know, I hear a lot of people say that. Mm-hmm. The power really lies within them.
Yeah. Power is with the people. We need to take more... goodness, excuse me. We need to take into account our local elections.
Why?
Because the people that we have... on a lower level, if they advocate for us at their lowest and we continue to prop them up higher, 5 to 10 years from now, maybe even longer, we could finally have a president that is actually for the people. We focus on the values of the ones that have direct control, mayors, senators, congressmen. And unfortunately, most in the Senate and most in Congress have been serving for longer than you and I have been alive. They need to shorten how long you can serve. It shouldn't be a lifetime service.
Yeah, like they shorten the span of presidency, and I think a governor can serve for.
I should know, but I don't know.
I should know too, right? Like. Let's not talk about things we don't know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's stay away from that.
But I would say Congress and senators, the ones specifically Congress.
They get to, okay, they so they get to serve a lot longer. Like, senator, okay.
Look at McConnell.
Senators get to serve a lot longer than, more than anybody.
Yeah.
Like, the GOP, you know.
It needs a complete
GOP.
Overhaul.
Let's look at the acronym, GOP. What does it stand for? Good Old Party. Like, we got to... I know I'm not for this whole change cancel culture because I really think it's, like, really going to places that, like, just really don't make any kind of sense.
I'm more of a fan of consequence culture than cancel culture.
Yeah,
let's focus on what they're doing now they did 10 years ago.
Hold on. Let's educate these people. Mm-hmm. Because... Now Dr. Seuss is a problem.
Ugh. For what? 3 books that were written almost 100 years ago?
Now, how many times have you read that book?
Never.
How many times have I read that book?
Never.
Well, I probably read it, but I didn't really think about it at that time. But my thing is like, now we're trying to, like, with the Men in Black thing, I think we're trying to wipe the memory of a lot of things, and you can't.
Yeah, it's a way...
And it's hard to not do that.
It's almost like the pufferfish mentality. They inflate these minor issues to this major thing to make it seem like it falls in line with certain popular movements. Black Lives Matter movement is popular right now. The Stop the Hate on Asian American movement is popular right now. They're trying to go around and
but
do
is the Asian movement gonna be around for a long time?
It should be.
It should be. It needs to be.
It needs to be.
But it will it be around for a long time? Let's be honest. Will
it depends on the people.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there are a lot of Hispanics that voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Hispanics voted for Trump. And I didn't understand why. Because he didn't like you and he didn't like me.
It's a lot of gays that voted for Trump.
Don't get me started. And I don't even know how that happened. Yeah, it was
like them.
I didn't even see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it is trying to
appease the masses.
Appease the masses and
serve
their friends.
Serve their chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay. Best unheard than seen kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not knocking the Asian. Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, I just feel like
you're mad, but you haven't gotten mad.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten mad yet.
Well, the thing is, they're trying to play it cool. They're trying to play it slowly.
I think other cultures do that too, because cultures are different from us because they don't react like we do.
We're very reactionary.
Yes.
To a fault, and they're not.
Right.
They're more of a peaceful people.
By nature. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not just guys, and we're not just saying Asians.
No.
We're saying all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been their way of thinking, because if I act this way,
everything's fine.
I'll be okay. All I need to do is just get right here. All I need to do is just make a left.
Yep.
I don't need to go to this store or that store just to make a left.
I don't need to make three rights. Right. I can just make one left.
Yes. Or I don't need to use my other left.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand when people say that.
No, it's your other left. You mean right? Just say right.
But yeah, I just feel like one day we're outside of you and I's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to happen.
Something is going to happen.
And
at the rate things are going, something's going to happen.
Yeah. But yeah, like I was saying, like, I don't like the cancel culture.
Neither do I.
Yeah. I mean,
because it focuses on the bad things.
Yeah.
It focuses on things that are also unnecessary. Because what we asked for was police reform.
Mm-hmm.
What we asked for was clean drinking water in Flint, Michigan. They still don't have clean drinking water, by the way. We asked for...
Shout out to Flint, Michigan. I got a Detroit Tigers hat because I really like it.
We asked for equality. What we got was, here's black stuff on Hulu. Here's black stuff on social media. Here's a new hashtag. We're canceling Dr. Seuss. Like, that's not at all what we're asking for. We're asking for, you know, the amount of time, the amount of training time in the average American police officer. They spend 80%, at least 80% more on combat training than they do with mental health assessments. Mental health in this country, the results of our mental health system is all around you.
Mm.
We are in April. There's been, what, 7 shootings? And we're only in
April.
Within
a month.
It's absolutely ridiculous. The violence in this country, and I know I'm going to make some people angry, guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people.
So are you for the Second Amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
I personally won't partake, but I believe that the average American has the right to defend themselves. What I also believe is that the average American has rights to mental health. They shouldn't have to go through all these hoops to get mental help, because that is the root of all of this. Is our healthcare system is a joke. You know, it's all about how much money they can make.
Right. So, with that in closing, because
mm-hmm.
we are approaching on another hour.
Good Lord!
I know, right? Yeah, look at the time.
Yeah.
But, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Tony Johnson Show.
Yes.
She is Nina, and I am Tony, and we are...